Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by an author, musician,
yes.
And podcast host of the anarchist survivalist podcast, Live Like the World is Dying, and the Cool Zone Media, Robert and Sophie Lichterman's Cool Zone Media podcast, cool people who did cool stuff. Please welcome Margaret Killjoy!
Margaret! That's me. I didn't prepare a song. That's sorry. Okay.
AKA Magpie. That's your AKA, yeah. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
What's the thing about magpies, the bird? Like, what's their thing?
They steal things.
That is how
I got the name when I was.
Oh, really?
They steal shiny stuff, right? And like build up the little shiny, like, bachelor pad thing to impress.
Yeah, they're a shiny object collector, like crows and ravens. They're pretty closely related.
Do they have the same, like, memory, too? Like, how crows would be like, yo, fuck with one crow, it could be smoke from the whole murder.
I think so. Only a group of magpies is called a tiding.
Oh, that's so much nicer.
Yeah.
I
like to think of it as ominous instead of direct, but.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, good tidings to you, they say, before they rob your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, wait, what were you stealing? What were you coming up on all the time?
Mostly food and books, I guess, when I was 20.
Yeah.
I got it for two reasons. One, I would like find little rusty and shiny things in like the street when I was walking around. I was like a crust punk squatter.
Okay.
And so I would pick up little rusty things and make weird bad jewelry with it. Eventually I started to learn how to make better jewelry. Uh-huh. And then the other thing is, I used to shoplift.
Yeah. Well,
like it was my job, because it kind of was, because it's how I fed myself and my friends.
Yeah.
Never advocate, whatever, do whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
What is something from your search history?
Okay, so I've talked about this previously on this podcast. I recently started working out with a personal trainer. So because of that, I'm really obsessed with macros, like macronutrients, making sure I'm eating the right amount of protein. So my most recent search history was, how much protein is in brunch? And I was really stressed while I was Googling it. My girlfriend and I took her out to brunch on Sunday. And I was just like, oh, shit. Can I make this work with my macros?
Yeah.
So macros are like protein and like the basic things.
It's like protein,
to...
carbs, and like protein, carbs, and fat.
Okay. Was it just a fistful of hollandaise sauce.
Yes, yes. I asked them to sprinkle a little bit of chicken into it, just to, so there's some protein.
It's like a sippy cup of hollandaise. One hollandaise sauce, one chicken breast.
One hollandaise, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I love hollandaise sauce with French fries.
Ooh.
And the macros on that. Not good. It turns out. Not good.
Look, you can offset it if you eat some just pure Slim Jims for dinner later.
are Slim Jims good macros?
So a lot of the struggle with macros is making sure that you have like a good protein to calorie ratio. And Slim Jims do have a very good protein to calorie ratio.
Fuck yes. Yes.
And the sodium like compounds that have,
I just don't even think about
we
that.
Ignore
I'm,
those. Okay.
I'm for sure getting mummified from the inside based on my diet right now.
Right.
But my protein level is good.
They're gonna find your liver in 45,000 years and be like, holy shit, this is perfectly preserved and glowing.
And eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's so funny how obsessed I've gotten with this stuff. I recently heard a former Daily Zeitgeist guest Eli Uden post on Twitter something to the effect of like, I'm thinking about eating more protein and stuff like that. I immediately jumped into his DMs and was just like, here's the best Greek yogurt like brand, like, you know, just
what is the best like Greek yogurt brand?
Oh, okay. So this is something real opinionated
about. Siggy's?
So the brands that I like is a brand called Oikos that is 90 calories for 15 grams of protein. And then there's another brand called Chobani that's 60 calories for 11 grams of protein. And they don't taste bad. There's a little bit of flavor to them. But it's just like if you, if it's the end of the day and you're about to go to bed, but you're just like, oh, I'm short on protein by 10 grams.
Yo.
Then you can just like chug a Greek yogurt while trying to sleep. This is what my life is. I'm a cautionary tale. Don't try to become me. I hate this.
I'm trying to remember when like Greek yogurt first came out as like a mass marketed product. I was still living in New York and one of my coworkers, like one of my best, like, actual work friends was like, oh no man, I don't fuck with Greek yogurt. It's like I'm trying to remember but not say the brand because it's a little, I guess, libelous or whatever. But basically it came
allegedly.
Yeah. So what happened,
it allegedly
though,
turned his insides into goo.
Well, it's not about the product. He was like, I can't fuck with that Greek yogurt. And I was like, oh well, why? I mean, it's good, I think. And he was like, yeah, like the guy that founded the company, like my friend's wife cheated on him with
oh no,
and like broke up the marriage. So it's like, yeah, I don't fuck with Greek yogurt. I was like, that's a really
so just
weird...
like that one brand or
yes,
like any
yes.
Oh, okay,
just one brand of Greek yogurt, and I don't remember which it is. I don't think,
yeah.
If I were to guess, it would be not polite, I suppose. But yeah, that's my...
let's just go with it anyways. top three Greek yogurt brands that we think the guy might be a slimy.
So which is the cheatinest tasting yogurt? That's my question.
I gotta say, Jack, where were you with that balloon telling them to stay 6 inches apart when they were
about
to do
it? Exactly. Answer yourself, Mr. Oikos.
Your work is never done.
Yes.
No, Oikos is very virtuous. I'll defend Oikos to the death.
It was probably one of the brands that like tells their whole founder story on the label. I feel like that's who, you know,
yeah,
like
and the founder story was definitely, he likes to fuck.
This guy loves to fuck so hard.
It did say on there. It was like,
he likes Greek yogurt because it's kind of like cum.
Yeah, this is why he likes the yogurt. This is why he got the whole thing.
Extra churn. Yeah. I also remember hearing that Greek yogurt, like the process for making Greek yogurt, it makes the Greek yogurt very good, very great macros on that shit, even though you are the Charles Barkley of macros and don't want people to think of you as a role model. I do think of you as a role model.
Oh,
and,
no.
I'm excited about these macros. But then like the other thing, the water or the liquid that gets strained out to make it like that hyper-condensed Greek yogurt is like poison. Is something that I remember covering back in the day. And like they don't know what to do with it. They're like, oh, no.
No, I'm sure me eating this very specific macro diet is cutting 50 years off of my life.
No, I think it was like as a waste byproduct.
As a waste byproduct. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's like acidic or something.
Yes, cool. It's hyper acidic and
it just makes me like it more.
I mean, I guess what it is it's very clearly just the opposite of the Greek yogurt.
Yes.
Like, it's just
that,
like,
that's what they're saying, is that the macros on this waste byproduct are terrible. And that's why it's a waste byproduct.
You took milk and split it into good and evil.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Dulce Sloan, we do like to also ask our guests, what is something you think is overrated?
Taylor Swift. She's just white.
End of.
That's it.
Yeah. What do you think of the Republican sort of like hysteria over how they're like, she's going to swing the election?
They need, honestly, thank you for getting the heat off of black people, Taylor. Run it. Because this is what you do know. If Kansas City would have lost the Super Bowl, it would have been her fault.
Yes.
But right. They won, and it's Travis Kelce. So right. She doesn't get the push. She doesn't get the benefit of them winning. But she would have caught all the heat if they lost.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Little Girl, but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, so, yeah. You don't need that kind of misogyny flying that way.
Right. So just like she was going to catch pure hell. Also, even if she told everybody to vote for a specific candidate, that's not illegal.
Yeah, no, right, obviously.
The thing that's going to swing the election is the policies of the Republican Party. But the problem is that nobody wants to, in the same way. So when Hillary Clinton was running against Trump, I saw something on Instagram and it said, all right, let me go get up and vote for this girl. And I was like, that is perfect. That is exactly how I felt. Let me get up and vote for this girl. I'm not excited to vote for Biden, but they know that Kamala Harris has no chance.
Right.
None.
Right.
So it's like, okay, you have to run Biden against Trump because Kamala Harris has absolutely no chance. But they're the oldest candidates in the history of the world.
Yeah.
In the history of in the history of America.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
They're the oldest candidates in the history of America. And John said, like on the show on Monday, he was like, the last time there were people this old was them 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Right? Yeah, they broke the record of them 4 years ago.
The first time. So yeah. I was like, damn, that's wild. Yeah. But no, Taylor Swift anchor. I mean, if all she did was just increase the sales of pony beads and letter beads and that
right,
elastic
right.
to make bracelets.
The bead industry is booming, yeah. And that is helping Biden's friendship economy.
Game. Exactly. Yeah. So shout out to. When also what I don't understand is like we've given Taylor Swift all this credit for boosting the economy when her and Beyonce had tours simultaneously.
Right, right, right.
And people were breaking their neck. Literally, not paying rent to go see both of them. So I'm just like, it's not, I don't think she's going to, no, she's not going to sway an election. What the problem is that people are so disengaged that not enough people are going to vote. And what the Republican Party is very good at is getting their constituents out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Democrats aren't paying enough attention. Also, they don't have enough money. The Republican Party sits on $200 million. The Democratic Party sits on $20 million.
Mm. The way Laura Trump was talking, she's like, if I am at the RNC, if like put me there, I'm putting every single penny of RNC funds will go to his election. It's like, wait, you mean in legal fees? I think that's what we're really talking here, because that's how so much of his PAC money just went to his legal fees.
Well, which is, listen, this is why when white people have the nerve to look at black people or people of color, and go, well, how do we, you can't ask us how to do anything. Y'all know exactly how this works. I'm very exhausted by the white person who doesn't understand how America works.
Right, right.
Or the man who doesn't understand why women are still going through, stop it, quit playing in my face. If you're playing with me, at least it'd be a board and dice out. Stop playing with me. Right. There's no video game console on right now. We ain't sitting in the living room eating nachos. So stop playing with me. You understand?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, one, America's not about freedom. America's about money.
Yeah.
The day that everybody can acknowledge that America is a business. It started as colonialism and colonization was a business.
Yeah.
The colonies were a business.
Yeah.
So a few people was like, you know what? They be not being real nice to us in England. We might want to go somewhere else.
Right.
That was a couple folks on a couple boats. The rest of these bastards, the entire Western Hemisphere was a business.
Right.
that the British and the Spanish took over. Because the fact that Americans do not acknowledge that most of the countries below us speak Spanish is insane.
Right. Or even know what country, like, I mean, most people don't even know what North America is.
If you right, it was like, well, we remember, like, well, you know, Mexico is in Central America. No, it's not.
No.
You never heard of NATO. That's what you just told me.
Right.
So it's America is a business. Stop looking for freedom and start paying attention to the money.
Mm-hmm.
All of this has always been about money. America does not care about your freedom. All of the freedom shit is a smokescreen, is a lie. That's why the reason that you were able to get the Civil Rights Act to pass is, one, Kennedy was assassinated. Two, the Montgomery bus boycott took 18 months. Mm. It wasn't a couple days that they wasn't on the bus. It was 18 months.
Yeah.
And Black women organized cabs and cars to get everybody to work. And what it did was it almost bankrupted the city of Montgomery, Alabama. Mm. That's why desegregation happened, because of boycotting of businesses.
Right.
It wasn't because the white people was like, we should probably give these Negroes some rights.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's time.
You realized how we impacted an entire city's economy and multiple cities' economies during the civil rights movement. And they were like, yo, these Negroes messing up our business. Give them some rights or they're going to destroy us.
Right.
With just the money of it.
Yeah.
It didn't, no one felt, no, it's like, so a white man looked at another white man and said, let's give these Negroes rights.
Right.
Had nothing to do, they weren't treated better.
Right.
You could not just get the bland food you was fighting to eat. So I'm very confused about what we think is happening right now. And I don't know why we're not acting like that this is what it is. So yeah, if the Republican Party wants to take all this money to back Trump, all they're going to do is bankrupt themselves.
Yeah.
That's all they want to do. Trump is just revenge for Obama. That's all he is, because that's right. Why people foam at the mouth in anger and act with Trump the way that they act. It's because he says what needs to be said, and we're going to drain the swamp and get those fat cats. I'm like, why are there so many cats in a swamp? You sound crazy.
They're like, I've been your
swamp
cat.
Cats.
They don't want to be in your water.
Listen, what is this? I remember SWAT Cats was an interesting cartoon.
Yeah.
Swamp cats didn't exist. They don't do that.
Samurai so, yeah. Pizza Cats, another one. You know what I mean?
What an odd... The 90s was a great time for pizza.
Yeah, truly. I hate
that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizza that was just like the cheese on the top was like one solid liquid, like non-Newtonian substance that just like kind of stretched
yeah,
off.
It just fell off the dough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really how they made kids read books is what happened.
Yeah.
A Pizza Hut, a personal pan pizza.
Right.
Just truly just an open-faced grilled cheese sandwich.
With a little bit of tomato sauce.
With a little bit of tomato sauce is really how they got kids to read in the 90s.
Yeah. Came through.
Carmen, what is something you think is underrated?
Oh, this is more fun. Do you know what I love? Love, love, love. Let's go back to
Capital
to
punishment. No, I'm kidding.
Absolutely not. Pendejo, mira. Don't get me mad now.
Lo siento.
How dared you?
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know you spoke Spanish, Blake. Lo siento.
Lo siento.
Un poquito. No, this is mucho más fun. Okay, so
oh my God.
On shows, I love... Because, of course, I'm a writer, too, but I love mashup words. I don't like, I'm not talking about those TikTok kind of stuff like Riz and stuff. I'm talking about mashup words. Because right now, the word that I can't get out of my head, which I love so much, is corpsicle. Is anyone watching
That's
True Detective?
Great.
It is the idea, and I come across a couple more of these words, and I just love, they make me so happy. And
yeah.
Just corpsicle. The power to be able to create a word that instantly makes your brain go, corpse.
Know exactly what that is.
What? And you know exactly what it is, and it's a nonsense word. Brilliant. By the way, love the show.
Yeah.
You love True Detective.
That's a great underrated. That's one of, honestly, my favorite underrated. That's such a good one, because it's something that you appreciate subconsciously, but then hearing you say that, I want to keep an eye out for more corpsical type words.
It's so fun. And then every time I hear corpsical, I'm like, oh, I just love it.
By the way, so that you know where I'm at, I tried to write corpsicle. I wasn't quite sure how to spell it, and my autocorrect changed it to crop circle.
Sure.
So you know
that's another fantastical thing.
You love signs.
So there you go.
I love science. Is that what you said? Yes, I love science.
Science, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Science.
Yeah.
And science class. I think that's in another M. Night Shyamalan movie where Mark Wahlberg is a science teacher. And he's like, just written on the board is like, where'd the bees go?
Oh, God. Wasn't science. Which one was that one? I remember that. Oh, my God.
The bees, though, bro?
Don't spoil it. Don't tell us where the bees went. It's a huge plot point.
Oh, my God. It's a good one.
That is a good one. True Detective season four has one of the most... That corpsicle is the corpsicle to end all corpsicles, by the way.
It's a bunch.
It's a real cluster.
And if you like this season, look at me. I'm not doing promo for her, but I do adore her. The director is Isa Lopez, right? Chicana from Mexico. She has her horror movie, Tigers Are Not Afraid, was beautiful and fresh. Nice. You know when you see a movie, it's not like, you're not like, wow, that was so great and epic, blah, blah, blah. But when you see it and you go, okay, that's new.
Yeah.
Like how hard is it to watch something today and be like, okay, that's new. I haven't seen that. That's her. And it is brilliant. So I'm not surprised that she produced a corpsicle. Because if you watch that movie, you can see how you're like, this lady's brain is different.
Yeah.
Me likey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that only has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's all it has.
Which one? Yeah, Tigers Are Not Afraid?
Yeah.
Damn, 97.
I'm so happy for her. Yay.
Writing it down on my movies to watch list.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. By the way, Isa, love you. Love you. Okay, moving on.
She's a big fan, as are all great, brilliant, you know, directors who think different. They are huge fans of the Daily Zeitgeist. And Will
It fits.
It fits. All right, let's take a quick break and come back and we'll run through some news stories. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And just briefly, Jon Stewart came, did his like first return. I didn't watch it. I Writer Jam watched it and was like, this is pretty, he was dreading it and thought it was kind of funny. Most of his opening segment was devoted to the ages of both presidential candidates, and therein lies the problem. People were like, what the fuck, dude? You're only supposed to talk shit about Republicans, bro. He focused on, as did we yesterday, Biden's slip up where he had called the press conference to be like, I'm not, you think I'm old? And came on and was like throwing sick burns at Fox News and was like real revved up and was like leaving the field of play, having like done what he came to do. And then someone asked him a question about Israel, and he like went back to the podium and confused Mexico and Egypt. And people were like, oh, buddy.
Oh, no. Yeah, you almost had.
Oh, you were so close. But anyways, I mean, he pointed out Biden's slip ups. He also said that Trump's statements during his rallies warrant a wellness check, like he was talking about both of them. But people were pissed. I think my favorite joke from it is that he took the clip of Kamala Harris being like, I assure you, in closed door meetings, Biden is smart and on his game and on top of it all.
He's doing backflips.
He was like, did anyone
he's dabbing all
that?
Over the place.
Like, that would be good to show to people. But anyways, people like Keith Olbermann, who we were all waiting to hear what.
Yeah.
We all knew Keith Olbermann was still alive and were waiting to hear what he thought on anything. But he came out and was like, this both sides is fraud. He's mad. Rolling Stone referred to Jon Stewart's both sides are equally bad approach, which doesn't seem like exactly what he's saying. I think you can be frustrated that Joe Biden doesn't seem to be the best candidate specifically because Trump is such a terrifying prospect.
Yeah.
Which kind of is where I'm sitting at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you guys feeling? Feeling good about our options?
Yeah. It's like, this is like kind of the first time I was like, because I feel like the previous incarnation of Daily Show Jon Stewart would not really ever like actually criticize like the kind of our center right Democratic Party,
right?
So like this feels like good ish actually. Right. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm like more in line with where I think people's minds are.
Yeah I think that, you know, I mean, ultimately, Jon Stewart's a comedian. His job is to be funny. But he's also put himself in this really interesting media criticism and analysis role.
Yeah.
Some jokes to criticize the media. And, you know, I think that Biden and Trump are the presidential candidates who look and sound old as fuck. Don't get mad at Jon Stewart for pointing it out. Like,
yeah.
You know, get mad at Biden's campaign team for letting me be presented in that way.
Or get excited about RFK Jr. like we are on this podcast.
if you read between the lines, you could really tell which direction this pod is, where Jack is going.
Slightly read between
anti-vax. This is really.
I have put COVID in scare quotes multiple times and did say I'm excited about RFK Jr. Yeah, I don't know if you're picking up the tiny little breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs.
Oh, no. Breadcrumbs.
That's what happens. When I'm out on macros and I'm so excited.
Yeah. Look, I love RFK Jr. because he probably knows what a macro is? Yes. Is that what I base my presidential candidate votes on? Yes.
Also, yes.
I will say, actually, Joey, to the thing you just said, I don't know if I agree that, like, in the job of host of The Daily Show, Jon Stewart is a comedian.
What? Okay, well, that's like why it's on Comedy Central. It's what theoretically he's supposed to be doing.
I know. I just think it's like, I don't think the show would do well if he was just doing jokes. Like most of the bits that do well with their audience are like, I think, unfortunately, not jokes.
Well, yeah, it is so weird. Like, I went to school for journalism. I graduated from like the Edward R. Murrow College of Communication. And it's like, so I really respect journalism. And it's so weird to me that he's kind of found himself, Jon Stewart, in this position where he's kind of one of the most respected journalists in the country. And right. he's not a journalist, you know?
Yeah, that's, and there's the problem.
Yeah. And it's like, it's sort of, he's the person where, you know, I think on his Apple TV show, there was this expectation of like, finally, he's going to do hard hitting interviews. And it's like,
yeah,
it's, we're putting so much on Jon Stewart's shoulders.
Yeah.
It's it's, that part is the biggest bummer to me. I'm just like, this is just, none of this should exist in this way.
Yeah, we should have television journalism should be better. Like, and part of the problem is just like, it's like the 24-hour news cycle. There is just this need to fill time with opinion more than like actual news. And it's like, if you watch like, you know, just any of the 24-hour news channels, it's like 90% of their programming is just like a panel of like experts or whatever, just kind of riffing on what they're hearing about.
Yeah.
As opposed to like actual like research the thing journalism. And I don't know. It's like, it's, I'm excited that Jon Stewart's back. Like, I thought he did, a good job in his first episode back. But it is such a bummer that like there is this feeling of like, oh, finally, real news can come back on Comedy Central.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Comedy Central was still a channel. To be honest,
I legitimately was like, I guess I would have heard had Daily Show been canceled, but right. The big announcement that he was coming back, I was like, oh God.
Yeah, like it was a weird, like, you know, it was this weird feeling of like, you know, ultimately I'm a big proponent of like giving new people a shot and, you know, bringing in like, you know, PSC voices or voices from marginalized communities to hold those positions. But like, I don't know, I do think that Jon Stewart, like he said that he's only going to come back until I think the election. So it does feel like he's kind of back for like a really specific purpose and he's not going to like stick around forever. And a lot of his jokes even were just like, I'm in my 60s. It's weird I'm back. Like, you know, so he gets it.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say in his next appearance, because he's not going to have Joe Biden to beat up on for being old. I'll tell you that much, because Joe Biden has proven he young. He joined TikTok. His campaign has entered its Steve Buscemi holding a skateboard phase, and they joined TikTok. He posted a video on Super Bowl Sunday answering questions that included which team he was rooting for and which candidate he supports for president. Which feels like they were trying to like fuck him up. It feels like his grandkids were trying to like confuse him. But the video was posted along with the message, "Lol, hey guys," which is just completely impossible to imagine Joe Biden ever saying.
Do you think that there was an unused take on that, who are you going to vote for president, Biden and Trump question, where he said, Trump, fuck.
He's
a straight shooter.
I think it's really funny how, like, I feel like the Biden campaign has gone through the process of, I think, every stand-up comedian of like, oh, I'm not going to start a TikTok. TikTok's dumb. And then after a couple of years, maybe I will start a TikTok.
Yes. Like, he for years has been repeatedly stating he would not be joining TikTok during the campaign, which is just like such a funny statement to make in the first place, that like he felt the need to be like, no, guys, I know what you're saying. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to join TikTok.
Yeah, I know what everybody's like, waiting for.
Okay. That thought never crossed my mind.
Oh, like, God.
But yeah,
I got to say, one of my favorite TikTok formats is just stuff getting smashed. Like, there's this video of like two toilets hanging from ropes swung at each other like pendulums and they hit each other and explode. If the Biden campaign leaned into that type of TikTok, I'd be all in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just on the like things from the White House getting like which one's going to survive.
Yeah, it's like the Lincoln desk and a statue of Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
You have to imagine
who got.
TikTok has to be pissed about this happening, because this is like their app is the least cool thing that's ever happened on TikTok. Their app is done. Like, this is just now we're just counting down the days to when TikTok is over.
Right.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that if you watch the video, it looks like Joe Biden's in a hospital waiting room.
I mean, it really does. Where the fuck is he? That's a really good point. Like, the art on the walls is in the in the waiting room of the last hospital. I was like, it straight up is a hospital waiting room. He's wearing old guy khakis.
Do you know what I would actually bet it is, which probably has the same decor as a hospital waiting room, is like a boomer internet consultancy.
Yeah, right. No, I think that to me is a little bit of the issue with, like, I totally get, you know, Biden starting a TikTok. Yeah, there's, you know, huge Zoomer audience there. Like, it makes sense. But yeah. I think that this really feels like a TikTok that was like pitched by a 20-year-old to like a boomer social media executive. Yeah. And like they tried to kind of meet in the middle, and it just like does, it just feels like this weird TikTok uncanny valley.
Yeah.
Having him show up with the words "lol, hey guys" is so funny to me for some reason.
It's
like, so is that him talking? Is that him being like, "Lol, hey guys, I'm so random, right?"
Yeah, I'm so random. Blurg.
Also, I mean, like, are you really gonna sign on to the fucking social media network that's mostly right now known for calling you a war criminal? Like, right? I think you gave up on the Zoomer vote a while ago, dog. And
yeah,
this is not gonna bridge that gap.
Yeah, unfortunately, he doesn't seem to be all that read in on the war criminal stuff, because he did, following the Super Bowl, drop that meme, that dark Brandon meme on our ass, where he was like, just like we drew it up, with a picture of him, you know, dark Brandon, eyes glowing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was also after Israeli airstrikes reportedly targeting houses and mosques killed dozens of people. Yeah.
It's like, wow, real dark Brandon.
Yeah.
Also, that is how he drew it up. So consistent. Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just perfectly timed.
We didn't have to drag this into podcast's least fun topic.
I know, but it is just wild. Like, this attempt to join in the fun, like make his campaign fun at this time. Like, it's just, don't think it's going to be as easy as they're hoping.
Yeah, I think that so much of what does well on social media is just like, you know, you need to be genuine. You need to feel like you're real in some way. And it feels like the Biden campaign is in this weird kind of trying to have their cake and eat it to middle ground, where they're trying to kind of memeify and freshen up Biden. But when it gets down to it, he's still an 82-year-old politician.
Sure.
And, you know, it just comes across as very like, hey, look, everybody, grandpa's rapping. Like, kind of, you know.
It would genuinely be 1,000 times better if he was just rapping.
Just rapping. Dude,
rapping.
Please.
Yeah, I'm the president and I'm here to say.
Yeah.
I mean, so in 2020, the campaign, some say sweatily, campaigned in Animal Crossing and threw celebrities on Cameo. And people are comparing that to this. I'm just going to say 2020. Let me think. Who won that election?
Yeah.
Who won that election? Yeah, that's right. He won.
Yeah, that's
you don't
right.
know if Animal Trump? Crossing saved us from four more years of Trump.
Jack, I'm sorry. The character of Jack O'Brien says Trump won that election.
Oh, shit. That's right. I have to go back and revise.
Yeah, you said
one was taken again.
Yeah,
when take that one more time.
Yeah, when you said Biden won the election, you were definitely doing the jack off like eye roll.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
Oh, yeah. Biden scary air won quotes. The election.
You know, Biden won the election.
By the way, every time I say President Biden, I think the jack off hand motion is implied on the president part. But yeah,
that's where me and the Let's Go Brandon people really intersect. It's like, yeah, I also think that. For the opposite reasons, but I do think that.
That is also so funny to me that, like, Let's Go Brandon was, you know, I feel like treated as this like epic liberal dunk, when it's like, I also think Joe Biden's not great. Like,
right.
Yeah. Also, there was a song that played on the radio called Fuck Donald Trump. So take this Ned Flanders bullshit out of my face. Like,
right. Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's your, oh, good one, guys.
Let's go. Brandon. And it's like actually a reference to someone saying fuck Biden. So
yeah. So you're not okay with cursing in public. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's also, people are pointing out, there's a whole question of like the U.S. government is really politicizing TikTok and like the like whether it should be allowed and whether it's a security risk. And he like straight up banned most federal government devices from using TikTok in 2022 due to bipartisan security concerns. So
do you think the Biden account password is the same as like his Skiff password? The man can only memorize so many passwords.
No. Yeah.
I just think there's a high chance it's just Joe Biden in all lowercase.
But nobody would ever think to put it all lowercase, Jack. Yeah, I don't know. Like security around his, I guess I would say it would be a nightmare if he actually used technology himself. But
yeah,
the thing that his administration is saying is that actually, this is like we use a device that is only for posting on Joe Biden's TikTok. So we're good here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's locked in like a glass case.
The sandbox firewalled TikTok, presidential TikTok machine.
Back to the Jon Stewart Daily Show thing. Something that I do appreciate about what he was saying is like, he was basically saying, you know, exactly you brought it up earlier of like, oh, if he's really energetic in meetings, show us that. Like he's giving advice to the Biden campaign.
Yeah.
And it's like, that feels like good. You know, it's like both presidential candidates are old as fuck. Like, you know, I totally get it. But it's like, at least let's pretend that they're like still active. You know, like that's your, I feel like that's your job is like, you know, a PR person or a press person or, you know, a media person or whatever is to like, at least make the messaging palpable so that I don't have to pretend that he's still with it, you know?
Listen, the other side of this, though, is like, you know, we lived through puppet Ronald Reagan. I say we just
Ronald
go,
Reagan
like,
had dementia in office.
We just go full Warhammer 40K with this stuff. And either of these two guys, we just acknowledge that it's a cadre of advisors and, you know, whatever, who's doing
the real
stuff. And we just put them on a fucking golden throne when they win. They just sit there on display.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Make sure they eat some Slim Jims so they're well preserved.
Yeah.
So we don't know if they die.
Yeah. Pickled and crackling with psychic energy.
Yeah. When you when you become president, you're just America's trophy for 4 years.
Yeah. You know what? You should be put inside of the Lincoln Monument.
Wait, on that giant big stone chair?
No, like inside of it. Like you're sitting in the same way, but you're just sort of like each one is one layer smaller inside.
Yeah, like Snoke vibes.
So it's like a nesting doll, but presidents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm proposing, I guess, that the Lincoln Monument is a mech?
That's
Do we know it's not a mech?
I thought you were proposing that once you stop being president, they have to hollow you out and put the new president inside of
you. Oh,
you just have to elect smaller and smaller presidents each subsequent time.
It's not the end of the world if we do that.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. I do think a big part of our problem is that the thing you're describing is basically the monarchy in the UK. And they realized a long time ago that monarchs shouldn't have power. And like that is just like you go sit somewhere on a fancy chair and everyone is just like, she's taking the dogs for a walk today. How nice.
Yeah.
And then there are like unglamorous people nobody really gives a shit about who are actually being hired and fired from the job of, you know, running the country. And in America, it's still the same fucking person like that. All the royalty and all the shit giving is tied up with the same person who actually is supposed to have the job. And that's unhealthy, I would argue.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's roll bad, Edward. We're living through it. We're living through the,
we're
the
thriving
lack of consequences for these people. Yeah.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are in love. Everything's great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't see what everybody's complaining about. Travis and Taylor. Congratulations to everyone on living through it. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No,
you know,
no,
like
no
I do feel like
that.
Everybody should just acknowledge end a day. Hey, we made it through another one. Fucking A.
Yeah.
Like the way you do in like, you know, recovery programs where you're like day at a time. This shit was hard.
Oh.
You know,
I thought you were like, talking about like being in like trench warfare.
Yeah. Well, that too. You know.
Yeah. It's the same vibe, I guess.
Survive. We're still talking about Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about how I get through the period, like after she announces a new album and before the album actually drops. Yeah.
Right.
It's just like, well, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to just get out of bed and act like this is a normal day? Or, okay. Sure.
Ridiculous.
Fucking ridiculous, Andrew. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about important things like Madam Web. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And people need to go check out Cool People Who Did Cool Stuff, both of your podcasts, but they're... so many great episodes of Cool People Who Did Cool Stuff. There's the recent one about the collective in Weimar Germany who, like, as Nazism is rising up and, you know, the economy is collapsing around them, they collectively, like, deliver 1 million illegal abortions a year as birth control is being, like, just so incredible and badass. But I did want to talk about this story about the invention of the paramedics because... it's a group of people, a community suffering under severe systemic racism in Pittsburgh, and they come together and become the first paramedics in the history of America, maybe the world. They are the reason we have paramedics today. Like, all the life-saving care we expect to show up in an ambulance started with them, and it was I would have guessed so much longer ago, but it was like 1968.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's another example. I've talked before about how like there are two types of inventions. There's like the iPhone, which is like something that is invented through sheer like tyranny of will, like years before the world might be ready for it. And it's like in front of And then there are the inventions that like the world is repeatedly calling out for, and like just people just keep fucking it up.
Yeah.
Like the screwdriver was invented after the screw. So they were just what? Like, yeah, they like years at, the screw existed.
They're using a chisel.
Just yeah, like they were just like whatever they had on hand. They're like, I guess this coin can kind of get it in there.
And hey, then they keep like, my thumbnail real long.
Took them like fucking decades to invent the screwdriver. But the paramedic seems like just listening to you like tell the story of, you know, it starts, you started with like people drunk driving ambulances around the Civil War.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just
wait. So what did it look like? Cause I haven't listened to this episode. So we were just pulling up to the, basically to the hospital before, like just some in the back of the car. It's like, get them to the hospital.
So there would be people who would go around. There'd be someone you could call and they would send an ambulance, mm-hmm. and the ambulance would not be an ambulance. They would send a car. And it was different it was different in different places. There was no central idea of how to do it. A lot of times it was cops, and cops don't always treat different people the same.
Wait, what?
I've heard of this, yeah.
It's crazy, I know. Don't worry, it was a long time ago. And then also funeral homes were a big one. The funeral homes had a hearse, and
sends
you could
a
put a person in a hearse. So you're like, you're trying not to die of a heart attack, and a hearse shows up, and they're literally like, there's like petals left over from the last person. And it was just, it was private services. And the other one was firefighters. And then the other one was just like purely private services, where there's someone in your neighborhood you can call, and like John will come over and drive you to the hospital.
J name.
Yeah. He's the hero of the story. Mm-hmm, don't worry.
Obviously.
No. And so, yeah, it completely blew my mind too. Like if you had asked me when the paramedics were invented, I would have been like, Victorian era, and it was a little bit late that it took that long,
right.
Or literally this has always happened and people used to do it with litters, you know, where you have to like carry the person or whatever.
Yeah,
you
right,
know?
Right. I picture like somebody coming out and like plugging a fire bellows into your mouth and like,
yeah,
right. And your belly's going. And
so, well, that was the other thing, is that CPR is a recent invention, is the other, and they were invented by the same guy.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
But yeah, the thing that paramedics changed was that the person who comes to drive you to the hospital performs care for you there on the street. And there was a while where people weren't into it. People were scared, especially because the first paramedic team was all black.
Mm.
And so at first they were in an all black neighborhood in Pittsburgh, and it was like fine. But then eventually like the white people in the surrounding neighborhoods were like, we'd rather paramedics came than cops. We keep dying.
Just a quick note.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then black people would come, but then random white racists would be like, no, please, I'd rather die of this heart attack. Just get me to the hospital. Don't.
All right. No problem. That's on you, bro. All right.
So I know. And that's the weirdest thing about like reading about the medical profession, is that that's not the attitude that even like black doctors and black paramedics who are dealing with racist patients are like, and then we just have to do it anyway. And I'm like, y'all are made of better stuff than me.
Yeah, right.
I would just be like,
okay, I'll wait. You know, so an important person has a heart attack on stage,
mm-hmm.
and a nurse goes and is delivering like CPR, life-saving aid, and then the cops, who are the authority at this time in like getting somebody to the hospital, kick her ass out like off stage, and then drag this person to the hospital.
I think you'd say they kicked her ass. Just like guts, just like,
no, she was white. Yeah, it was a white nurse.
Right. Oh, it was a white nurse. So they kind of pushed her out of the way, and we're like, yeah, why don't you go bake a pie, lady?
Yeah, exactly.
And they kill this guy you know, because they don't know shit about CPR.
Well, because they're interrupting the intervention, basically.
They're interrupting the CPR. And so this, like, people are pissed. They killed a major, like, political figure, basically the head of Baltimore's Democratic Party Democratic Party at the time. And so, so people are pissed, and they bring in this guy who had just kind of innovated CPR, and was like, his theory was that you could teach everyday people to do this thing that would keep people alive for a long time, or much longer than they were living before. And so they trained regular people to be the paramedics, like specifically not cops. Or I guess they were open to cops, and the cops were like, ah, fuck this. That's a training? We don't do this. Sorry. No, we don't do training. But what? So why do you think they went in that direction to like train people who weren't like not being like, we're a traveling band of doctors? Was it just like doctors were in short supply?
It was a couple different things. One is that they had this idea for this job, paramedics, and they were like, who can we get to do this job where it is going to take, like, I don't remember the number of hours, an awful lot of hours of training, like an awfully long, intensive thing. We have no idea how financially feasible it will be. We have no idea whether or not this job will exist when you finish all of this training. Who's willing to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so it was not the doctors. And then also, yeah, like I'm absolute shit at remembering names as soon as I've moved on to the next episode. I remember the story arcs and things.
Sure,
but I can't remember the name of the CPR guy, but he's white.
Is it Stanger?
Oh, that sounds right, but I really don't remember. I remember a lot about his backstory. He grew up in Nazi-controlled Austria
William
or something.
William Kuvenhoven?
I don't remember. And so he also, his thing is believing that we need to stop some of the gatekeeping around medical stuff. We still need to train people and people need to be highly trained. But he was like, I believe we can train regular people. So that was like partly his crusade around it. It was partly the police unions were blocking cops getting training. And it was partly that the group that stepped up in order to say, hey, we're going to do this was a not really a mutual aid group, but a black empowerment group that taught entrepreneurship within this neighborhood. And did like stuff like drive around a food van and sell food out of the back to break the food desert. And they were like, well, we can do it. We have some organizational ideas. And so it was coming out of the civil rights movement also. And so it was kind of specific parts of black civil rights stuff meeting, hey, how do we destroy the gatekeeping of the medical industry? And just like, and then even then they had trouble getting people to come to these trainings, right? And so they were like, kind of just rounding people up on the street. So the first people, the first paramedics were not just black folks who were impoverished systemically from that reason, but it was also a lot of felons. It was some people who didn't have any like stable places to live, a lot of people who were dealing with unemployment, vets with serious PTSD coming back from the Vietnam War. It was like the fuck ups, you know?
Right.
And they were like, well, we're not the fuck ups. We're actually really awesome and are doing all this amazing work, which is part of why it would make such a fucking killer movie. And
amazing
then there was even
movie.
The part, like, even at one point in order to get city funding, they were like, sorry, you need to have a white person. And so they
right.
were
like just one.
And so they found a guy who had been the token white soldier in a black unit in Vietnam. And we're like, hey, can you be our token white person? And he was like, sick. Yeah, no, totally. That's fine.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And so you even have, you know, from a Hollywood point of view where you need that, they even have that. So it's a perfect movie.
Yeah, you have your Chalamet.
Yeah, you have your new trope, the magical white guy.
But he just like stays in the bag and doesn't do shit.
Yeah. It's like, what does he do? It's just amazing. His whiteness, just even passively on off to the side, the doors that it opens. It's quite magical. But
this is also something that we saw when we were talking about alternatives to policing and like this program in Eugene, Oregon, that has been going since, I think, the early 80s. I feel like it's called like Creeps or something like that. They gave it the worst acronym possible. But it's like, if you need to call someone for help, but you don't want the police showing up with a gun, you have this alternative. And like, I remember reading a profile and the things that they're solving are just like, I don't know, this drunk guy is like having a fight with his partner.
Cahoots, and I think is what it's called, not Creeps.
What is it?
Cahoots.
Cahoots?
Isn't it Cahoots?
Yeah, it might. I think it had a different name for earlier on, but I don't. It Creeps is Nixon's like committee to reelect the president. But right. It was something like more sinister, though. Uh-huh. But anyways, like they would just like give somebody a ride. You know, it was just like really like community based. Like, oh, I actually know that guy, or I know his cousin. I'm gonna have his cousin come give him a ride, and like you end up seeing this is what is useful about the Freedom House people being the people who are serving this community is like, you know, I think Margaret in the episode you talked about, if someone's ODing, they probably know who dealt them those drugs and can like go talk to that dealer and like find out what they took, You know, it's like they are plugged into the community. So you're just like paying for somebody within the community who knows people to go in and do the very basic, you know, work of also incredibly complicated and important work of like life-saving technology or life-saving medical care, but also just having that context and it being someone that like people are comfortable with and not somebody who's pointing a gun at you. It is so important and just like feels like this could be spread, applied to like so many other places, right? Like in the modern world where we're still have this crisis of the place to call when somebody's having a mental health crisis or, you know, a lot of different problems is the fucking police. Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, it just makes sense to me. And especially when a lot of stuff that puts people in danger is criminalized, you know, when you're dealing with someone who's ODing. Oh, and then just to throw in that also the same guy whose name I can't remember was, I think, the first person to administer Narcan or like use Narcan, not just as a way to pull people out of anesthesia, but also to pull people out of overdosing. But yeah, like if someone's overdosing and you call the cops, you don't know whether you've saved that person's life or killed them.
Right. Yeah. Is it Dr. Peter Safar?
S-A-F-A-R. Again, I literally, it's just names go in and out of my head. It's awful. I need to have a script in front of me in order to
remember. We're like looking and I'm like, it's like, there's like three doctors that may have invented CP. Like
There were three doctors.
Safar, this guy, and Jude.
Yeah, it's like, Peter Safar. He born in Vienna, Austria.
Yes, that's
and
it.
Ended up becoming the, created CPR.
And he did all this like tricksy stuff to avoid serving in the Nazi army.
Yeah.
He like also almost killed himself with medical issues in order to be medically exempt from serving in the Nazi army.
Yeah. Oof.
He's just a cool guy. And he also like, usually I do these episodes about like great men in history and they turn out to be like awful to the women in their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Total wife guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Great wife guy.
Wife guy energy.
Yeah.
He
I mean, not just energy. They were like ballroom waltzing champions.
And like included her in his plans. And like, I mean, I don't have like, I haven't read her account. I mean, I've read some quotes from her. Right.
Sure.
But like compared to a lot of the people that I end up researching in history where they're like so dedicated to the cause that they treat everyone in their lives, especially the women and who are close to them in their lives, like terribly. This man is not an example of that.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're out there. They're part of the community. They're the first people to like get the paddles out and go clear, like on the street. Like they're, you know, they are breaking all this new ground. A racist mayor comes in, pushes them out, starts trying to replace them with cops, like just stops, like cuts their funding, keeps cutting their funding. It's like this, again, just like a movie scene that is incredible that Hollywood is sleeping on. During this period, Freedom House like gets their hands on a police scanner and start like racing the police to get there to save people because the police are taking their sweet ass time. So they're like listening to when there is a medical emergency and then like racing there to help people before the cops can show up. But just an amazing story of like, you know, people from the community, like the medical power to the people, like just all these, you know, all these really cool ways that this community came together against all odds. And like the fact that that's not the story we tell. And instead, the story we tell is like fucking an entire genre's worth of Westerns.
Right.
It's like fucking so frustrating. Yeah.
Well, I think, that's
good
probably
job
important.
Connecting those two things. That was well done.
Oh, thanks.
Right. I think it's just, it's probably important to like even think of it in that context of just sort of like, you know, being fed these kinds of stories over and over again. And it like, you know, to your point, Margaret, it's like you can almost manifest it through like the repetition of that kind of like story arc. Whereas like we're now, I think a lot of people are feeling like we need to like transition to something different, something that feels more connected, something that feels more humane and actually treats people with dignity. And and all these stories have been like in a way buried, or whether that's intentionally or because they don't think it sells tickets or whatever, you know, we're seeing that like that's actually our impulse is to invent and iterate and do something that is actually for a communal benefit rather than like, here's a story of the guy who got so pissed off, he beat up everyone in town and then his daughter got braces or whatever.
Yeah.
That's so many movies.
You know, the story of the tagline.
Fucking like John Wick, nobody.
Yeah. Just
like,
beat up everybody in town.
This guy's so pissed. Yeah. You ever get so pissed that you just like beat up everybody?
In town? Like all those Uwe Boll films are like that too, yeah. Where it's just like,
Jesus Christ,
pissed off guy on a mission.
Oh, man.
That's because every American man is told that that's in his heart and he could do that if he had to.
Yeah.
And you're like, not every man can beat up every other man. That is clearly... Yeah. Not true. That is not how math yeah. works.
You know what I'm really good at? Going, help!
Yeah.
Help me! I think most men are because of patriarchy to be like, and then someone fixed it for me. And then I told myself I did it all myself because I'm a big boy.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. If you like the show, means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.